This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I'm so glad my kids are here. Benjamin, Caitlin, and Branson, if you guys would stand up, I'd appreciate it. Just stand up and enjoy it. They're on the face of it. My daughter Rachel's taking an exam right now, or she'd be here otherwise. But my name's Adrian, but my wife's name is Lisa. She's 5'4", comes up the bar right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a cha-ching. She's all that in a bucket of chicken. If she pats you on the back, you put it on your resume. I just need you to know right now, my wife is the greatest woman on the planet, and you'll know after this message why that's true. But I need you to know that she is amazing. She's smart. I got a 770 in the SAT. Our ministry hired her 10 hours a week. We pay her to make sure I get to where I'm supposed to be. 10 hours a week, and she's way underpaid. She got double me. She was a valedictorian. I was a thank you, Lordian. You understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying here? I mean, she's brilliant. She got her master's degree in chemistry in 1 year. 1 year. I mean, she's like off the charts smart. I don't know. You know what this is a picture of? The grace of God. How did it happen that I, what? She's what squared? What? What? I just want to tell you right now, you're, okay, she wants me to keep going. Okay, good. So, yes, yeah. Okay, I need all the married men to stand up. Hurry up. It's Valentine's Day. Let's go. Married men, stand up. Let's go. Do we have any engaged men in the room? Engaged men, you stand up too. And all the engaged men, I want to see your hands. Engaged men, raise your hands. Let me see them. Oh, we got ring by spring. It's not spring yet. Money back. Okay, now watch this now. All right, I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Think about what you're going to say, and I want you to brag about your wives out loud. This is Valentine's Day. If you want to sing You Are So Beautiful, I don't care. You can sing as loud as you want. I'll give you 15 seconds. It's February the 14th. 15 seconds to brag about you. Now, use your diaphragm. Don't be going, hey, you're killing me, Smalls. So when I say go, we got to go. On your marks, come on, 15 seconds. Let me see. Get set. Go. You got 10 seconds. Come on. Come on. Let's go. 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2. Good job, gentlemen. Good job. You can sit down. I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for being here. All right. This is Valentine's Day. You know what the funny thing is about this message? I thought I'm not going to have enough message to fill the time. It's kind of funny. So it's perfect time now. Okay, now watch it. It's Valentine's Day, so let's do a message this morning on love. 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 True love. Let's do a message. Let's do a message on love, but it's a little bit controversial. This message is a little bit controversial. I'm going to ask you a question. It's not rhetorical. I have not had anybody get it right yet this year, okay? And I've asked it several times. When I was studying the book of Job, we're going to be in the book of Job, chapter 38. If you got your Bible, turn to Job 38. Can you imagine we're going to talk about love in Job 38? That's kind of interesting. Get a job. It's a little play on words there. It's okay. Just stay focused. So it's going to be in Job 38. It's on page 700. See, that's funny. No one ever laughed. You guys are smart. Twig Gray, great to see you, brother. Appreciate you. Jeremy Kingsley, two great godly men. I praise God for you guys. All my friends over here, thank you all for being here. I'm shocked. I did not know that this was going to happen. Appreciate you being here. It means a lot to me. Let me ask you a question. That's not rhetorical. I need you to answer it. If you know the answer, just like raise your hand. I'll call on you. Let's do it that way. What was the first creation? First creation. Anybody know? Raise your hand. First thing God created. Yes, over here. Say it again. Light. This is before light. Before light was created. It's a trick question. Of course you're going to say what you're thinking, so go ahead and say what you're thinking. Darkness is crazy. Wow, that hurt my head. I'm not that smart. Yes, sir, right here. Fellowship. Ooh. That's close. The first thing he created, though, the first entity. Yes. Okay. Oh, you're killing me. That's what I say. Yes, it's got to be yes. Yes, but I want to know the first thing he created. The first, can I say physical thing, spiritual thing he created? Before the heavens and the earth were third. Weather. Somebody say weather. Look at Job 38. Let's go to Job 38. Let's go. We'll start with verse 4. Remember when Job was getting rebuked? Remember Job said five times in the book of Job, at least I've counted five times, probably more, maybe, I don't know. But he said five times, God made a mistake. I didn't do something wrong. It's his. I wish I could ask God some questions. And so God says, sit down, Job. Who is this that darkens my counsel, words that are too wise for their own understanding? You wanted to ask me some question? Brace yourself like a man. Let me ask y'all a couple. Did he say y'all? Well, let me ask you some questions. I think he may have been Southern at that time. But for the next four chapters, it's some of the greatest revelation of God that you see in the entire Bible. But this is big to me. I saw this last November. This is brand new for me. I've read the Bible through several times, and I've never seen it. Look at verse 4. I like verse 3. Let's just do verse 3 because I like the words. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. The first question he asks, he says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what word's footing set, or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? So what was the first thing God created? Before the foundations of the earth. The angels. The angels were there. They were there singing. So we had to. They're created beings. They're not eternal past, eternal. They're created. So he made the angels first. Or the paradise exists, the paradise and the angels. So when someone said fellowship, that's a good answer. So it made fellowship and love. That's a good answer too. Love is a good answer. What was the second thing God made? There's a hint, and I'm thinking it's second. It may not have been exactly second, but it's somewhere in the next proximity kind of thing. I believe before the heavens and the earth were made. Now, I may not be, I'm inferring from Scripture here. I don't have any biblical evidence that says exactly this is what happened in the timeline. But do what? Music, okay. This is a place. Heaven first, and then something made second, and there's like a hint right there in that verse. Before the stars, it was created for Lucifer. Hell was created second for the devil and his demons, prepared a place for them for the devil and his demons. And the third creation was the heavens and the earth. Now, how many times did Lucifer sin? Anybody know? All we have recorded is in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. He said five times in his heart, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I think we'll put all those in one prideful sin. He said, I deserve better. I want to be like God. I want to send them out of the assembly of God. He said five times, I will do these things. And God said, you will not kick them out. A third of the angels rebelled with him and were kicked out to a place prepared for them. And that was it. From that point on, I believe that God has taken the will away from them. The devils, the demons cannot repent. They can't be saved. Angels, I saw in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who are born again. So the angels, I think they don't have a will either. I'm not completely sure about that, but I'm inferring from Scripture. So the angels cannot fall, and the demons cannot repent. They have no more will. Fast forward from when God made the angels to him making man, Adam and Eve take the fruit. It was the woman you gave me, whatever. And they take the fruit and they sin, they fall. Why did God not take away our will? Why did he let us have another chance when he didn't give the angels another chance? He didn't give it to them. They sinned one time, boom, that was it. One time. Maybe it had something to do with that they were in his presence. Maybe that's something to do with that. It's pretty intense right there. But one time, how many times have we sinned? Confession. This is going to be very hard for me to do. About a month ago, I was at a Ben Lippin basketball game. This is a confession, please. You have my permission to judge me if you need to. Not that you needed my permission. But I yelled at the referees. Now, that's not unusual for me. I've done that before. It's horrible each time, though. It's a sin each time. This time in particular, the referees kicked me out of the gym. Is that not the worst thing you've ever heard in your life? Not on the referee's part. I deserved it. On my part. Horrible. What kind of person would yell at a referee in the first place? An idiot. The next day I got up. Well, I couldn't really get up. I stayed in bed all day. I was so discouraged. I think I may have tasted a little bit of depression. I don't know. I don't know what that tastes like. So it hurt, though, deeply. A couple days in bed, couldn't get up. It hurt so bad. Why would I do that to my wife, to my kids, to my son playing basketball, to the school? My testimony was crushed. I called a friend of mine, Foster Christie. He's the pastor on our staff to the evangelists. I confessed it to him. I called a lot of people and confessed it. I was getting ready to resign from the board at CIU and resign from being a preacher with Kingdom Building Ministries. This is one of the darkest days of my life. Why would I do something like this? Foster asked me, he said, hold on now, before you start quitting everything, hold on. Athletes are always the ones that beat ourselves up more than anybody else. So he said, hold on, let me ask you a couple questions before you go any further. And if you feel like you need to tune me out from this point on, I'd understand that. I would maybe tune me out too. I don't know. But he said, were you tired? I said, yeah, I just got back from the bowl game. I was flat, worn out, exhausted. I felt like I was babysitting the whole time I was there. I was exhausted. He said, were you sick? I said, yeah, I was getting this nasty cold. And when I get a cold, I'm on my back for a couple of days. I was sick. He said, how about your blood pressure? He asked me all the right questions. I said, my blood pressure was through the roof when I walked in the gym. He said, what were you doing in there? I said, I don't know. My wife even said before that happened, you're going to get yourself thrown out of here. I said, oh, dear. She's a prophetess. I've noticed that for 23 years of marriage, by the way. Pretty soon I'll figure it out. Foster Christie says, you know what you need, Adrian? I said, what's that, Foster? He said, before you quit everything, why don't you just take a nap? I said, what? He said, you need to rest and get better. And you know what? Athletes are very hard. We're horrible at this. He said, we never know how to give each other or give ourselves grace. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you just need to know I'm going to give you grace right now. And I had this warmth just kind of go all over me. It was like, you see, it doesn't diminish the fact that I was an idiot. It doesn't diminish the fact. And I believe I've come really, really close to learning my lesson on it. The next game, or I punished myself for a game, had to sit out, couldn't go to my son's game because of how big of an idiot. So the next game after that, we were playing Hammond. There's our crosstown rivals. And I love everything about them out of obedience to the scriptures. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this game, and there's a questionable call on the court. So I turned and looked at Lisa. She said, not a word. I went, okay. And I was just watching the game. I actually kind of enjoyed it. A buddy of mine comes and sits next to me and says, "You want to yell at the referees, don't you?" I said, "Get behind me." He said, "You want me to yell at them for you?" And I was tempted. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Let me get on your knee. You put your head at the back of my shirt and I'll be your puppet." So I did it. He starts going, "Ah, gah, gah." I said, "Okay, that's enough. We don't need." The whole crowd was laughing. I actually enjoyed a basketball game for the first time in my life. I mean, really enjoyed the last four or five games. I've had a blast at these games for the most part. All I know is this, is I never really understood grace until that moment right there. I'd never understood grace, a gift from God. I mean, the demons sin one time, and they're out. I mess up, and that song we just sang, that when I mess up, God loves me, perfect song for this message. How much does God love us? How much does he love us? That he gives us chance after chance after chance. Now, that's not license for me to keep on going. The man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. I know that passage. And I feel like I'm free concerning that stuff. But I will tell you this right now, how much does God love me? How much does he love you? What does he think about you right now concerning anything you've done in life? He thinks you're amazing. Now, I know for a fact that he loves the angels. How much more? Can I say that if there's a more? I don't know if we can. How much more does he love you and me? There's a Bible passage that I love a ton. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. Lavished. 1 John 3:1. Lavished. I like word pictures for English words. Lavished. You have a stack of pancakes, and you take syrup, and you pour the syrup on top of the pancakes. Food is very important to me. I hope you understand that. And you pour, and the syrup covers the top of the pancakes. If you pour it right in the middle, you get a beautiful symmetrical response. It's funny how science and food works together here. And it covers the edge of the pancakes and goes down the edges. You can see it dripping like rain, beautiful from God. Fills up the plate with the syrup. Goes over the edge of the plate, fills up the table with syrup. This is Holy Spirit stuff here. Goes over the edge of the table, fills up the room to your knee with syrup. I know it's ooh, just relax for a second. Let me finish this. The pancakes have been lavished with syrup. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. How much does he love us? He loves us with an everlasting love. This is Valentine's Day. The greatest love on the planet is his love for us. And the only reason why we can love is because he first loved us. How great is that love? The love of God for his kids. Now, I love my children. I mean, I love my kids. I love my wife. She's the priority on this planet for me. How great is God's love for us? Now, I have tasted love. I've tasted it. But can I love somebody who harms me, who does wrong to me? The Lord loves us even while we're knuckleheads. Now, should I keep on sinning so grace may abound? May it never be. But grace still abounds. It does abound to us. As big a jerks as we've been, as big as knuckleheads as we've been, God's love for you is amazingly poured out on you right now. Like the little boy said, the father said to his little boy, "Son," he was in Ireland at the time, "look over the ocean there. As far as you can see to the east, that's how far God's love goes for you." And he said to his boy, "Look to the south. You see the rolling plains. That's how far God's love goes for you. And to the west, that's how far God's love goes. And to the north, that's how far God's love goes for you." And the little boy said, "Dad, if God's love goes that way, and that way, we must be standing right smack dab in the center of it." Now, the angels didn't understand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The prophets and the kings of the Old Testament longed to look into these things, and so did the angels in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. They longed to look into these things concerning the sufferings of Christ. They didn't really understand it. So when Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away, don't you know all I have to do is ask my Father and he'll put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? I mean, I have at my disposal 72,000 angels or maybe 144,000. I'm not quite sure exactly what. I mean, I have a bunch of angels sitting on the brink of heaven, on the edge of heaven with their sword drawn, seeing the master of the universe, their master sitting right there, getting ready to be taken by men and beaten to the point of death and beaten to death and crucified. All they needed to say was one phrase, you're not worth it. That's all he needed to say. And in the midst of my struggle with sin, that light shined through to my soul and said, enough. Live as if you are loved. Live as if the Lord King of the universe loves you. I mean, think about it for a second. The angels, all their one word, shoot. Can you imagine? Is there any defense against an angel? What are you going to hide? How could you defend yourself against an angel? You remember the story of Balaam and a donkey? You take one more step, I would have killed you. The donkey was telling him, I'm sorry, that was a little Jeremyism there. I'm just saying, how do you defend yourself against an angel? Think about it. The angels don't understand this stuff. Can you get, that hurt. Can you defend yourself so the angels don't know about these things concerning the sufferings of Christ and glories that will follow? And all God has to do, all Jesus has to do is say that enough. But think about it. How much does he love you? How much does he love you? During a football game, Brandon Isaac, free safety for us, we were playing North Carolina. His shoulder was like this. I saw it when it came off. He said, Adrian, come here and help me. I'm the chaplain. He bent his elbow like this. He said, pull it up a little bit. So I pulled it up. He went, ah! I said, what? He said, just hold it right there. I said, okay. He goes, ha-cha, snaps it back into place. I went, ah! Then he goes, okay. And he goes back in and finishes the game. I know you can't imagine this. Neither can I. I had my elbow dislocated, excruciating. Excruciating, that's probably not the right word. It hurt like crazy. But can you imagine your shoulders being dislocated and all your weight being on it for 6 hours because of my sin? How great is the Father who's lavished on us that we should be called his children. That's what we are. And we've been made joint heirs because of the love of Christ. How much does God love us? I was at a conference a little while ago, walking down to the elevator to go out to the car, 11 o'clock at night. And this man was screaming at a woman getting ready to get on my elevator, cursing her out. She had her bags packed. You're leaving again. You're leaving again. Screaming. I'm going, oh, dear. She gets on. She's just sobbing. She gets on the elevator. And he gets on and stops the door. And I'm standing right there going, I said, you need me to get off? Or do you want me to stay on? Do you need me to get off? Or do you want me to stay on? I was trying to make it a little lighter, but it wasn't working. He said, I don't care what you're blanking, I mean, he's drunk and cursing. I went, oh, dear. She said, I wish you'd stay on so he doesn't choke me again. I went, oh. He threw a bottle at my back. Oh. And she looked like she'd been, just looked pretty rough. So I said, okay, I'll stay on. He said, I don't care what you're blanking, do. He wasn't going to get off the elevator door. And making this loud noise. I said, I sure am glad I'm here. Why are you glad you're here? I'm a preacher and I might be able to help you. I didn't intimidate him at all. It just took a microsecond. Well, you can blank it and blank help her, is what he said. You can blank it and blank help him. I said, oh dear. The preacher word didn't work. So I said, well, let's just talk about what's going on. My son just passed away last month, is what she said. I said, your son passed away? Yeah. I said, what happened? He fell off a stage at a concert. I said, where are you from? Denver. Oh, my ministry's based in Denver. That was your son? We got an email talking about that we should pray for the family. I prayed for you. She went, huh? Now that's pretty intimidating. And so we went from there, and we started talking about a half hour, got out in the elevator, so the elevator stopped, got out in the hallway there and started talking back and forth. She's screaming. He made fun of my son. I went, oh dear. Looked like there was no help at all. So finally he just says, I'm done. I'm going back to my room. If you want to come back to the room and talk, we can talk. Otherwise, if you leave, I'll never see you again. They were engaged. They had been married before, and this is their second marriage each. I said, I'll go back to the room and talk with y'all if you need me to go back and talk with y'all. I can do that. I don't care. Went back there. About an hour and a half later, we went through several stages of premarital counseling. That's actually a lot of fun. It's like giving me candy, and I like candy. I mean, Jesus is first and my family second. Candy. I'm sorry. I mean, all my friends too. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Just relax. It's just a joke. Sort of the humorous climax. So what happens is, about an hour and a half later, I'll never forget it, they're on their knees together, and they kept saying they're going to pay me for my time. I said, you're doggone right you're going to pay me for my time. We're not talking about hundreds. We're talking about thousands. I'm expensive. And I was saying that because this guy was very, very wealthy. You could tell by the room he was in. And it just he kept saying how wealthy he was. And I was using it because otherwise I wouldn't be able to stay in the room. If he wasn't going to pay me for my services, I wouldn't be able to stay in there. So I was using it to stay in there. So I said, yeah, you're going to pay me thousands. And the last thing that happened was they were on their knees sobbing, giving their lives to Christ. I said, one more thing I want you to do if you don't mind, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Would you guys stand up and give each other a hug and tell each other you're sorry for being such jerks? And they were sobbing in each other's arms, crying, as I just put the parachute on and slowly backed out. I walked out in the hallway and thought, look at the love of God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Not only for those people that were in the room sobbing and giving their lives to Christ, but I got to watch it. I'm just a fly on the wall going, that's all I figure I did was just a fly. But I got to watch it. You know what the Lord thinks about you? He thinks you're the stuff. You're amazing. You know what he says? Happy Valentine's Day. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for what you've done for us. We love you, Papa. You're by far the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we praise you. How much do you love us that you sent your son? You didn't send your son for the angels. You sent your son for us. So we say, thanks, Papa. We love you too. Matter of fact, just say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Papa. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.